I think it kind of dematerialized. I had a visualization about it. It just kind of vanished. And for a moment I thought I saw something. After I opened my eyes, I actually thought. It was like there was a flash of light that went by. And I looked again, because I thought I saw something. I think it was that craft, it could vanish that quickly. And to me it appeared as a flash of light. It could have still been more of a beam light emittance. I don't know. Oh, I can see it dematerialize now. Oh, this is quite unusual. I think that's what it did. It didn't really take off this time. I can see it just fading into nothing, kind of blotting out till finally there's nothing there. But anyway, you didn't remember anything about this afterwards? Well, like I said, I saw what I thought was a flash of light. And I just remembered something orange. I felt rather fatigued after the experience. I just wanted to go home and go to sleep. And then I forgot about everything. All right then. I want to thank you for what you've been telling me, and I appreciate it very much. And I would like to come again and ask you questions like this at another time, if it's all right. When Penny returned to full consciousness, we discussed the session, and I reactivated the suggestions that she would remember some of the details well enough to draw them. 58, Legacy from the Stars, Description of Creatures, Head, Sideways, Oblong Shape. Eyes very round and solid black. Nose a mere bump, no nostrils visible. Ears had a rim and top tips, but close to head. A hole where sound would enter. Mouth not visible. Later she thought the mouth was visible one time, but then it seemed to disappear again. At that time it was more of an uneven jagged type of opening. She said, "Does this make sense? That it could appear and disappear?" She seemed to relate it to the way the creatures had their offspring. The abdomen area seemed to open and close over again. They seemed to be enveloped in a type of glow which made some details difficult to see. Hands, three fingers and a suction cup type device on the thumb. Creatures' arms were longer than their legs. Their posture and stance monkey-like, stooped over with dangling arms hanging down. When at rest the hands were bent at the wrists and almost touched the floor. The feet were enclosed in a mitten type of skin covering, and a longer thumb-like appendage. She compared the, a childhood memory revisited, 59, feet to duck's web feet, because she could tell there were long bones inside the skin covering. She thought the foot was capable of gripping. She had the feeling that her conscious mind was not registering the answers given on the tape. It seemed to be tranced out, but her subconscious was reporting what it was seeing. She remembered feeling a sense of cringing when she first saw the creatures, because they were not pleasant to look at. She thought there was probably more done to her than she reported. She thought her young 8-year-old mind shut out a lot of it. Upon awakening, the area just above the inside elbow joint of her left arm was hurting. She thought this was where they scraped the skin off. This was a case where the body was also remembering an experience, as well as the mind. Care must be taken by the hypnotist to prevent any physical symptoms from carrying forth into the waking conscious state, so I removed any feeling of discomfort. After much trial and error, this was the best we could come up with on the shape of the spaceship. She had a compulsion to correctly portray the shape, yet she felt it was still not accurate. She said the flange was more bent than seemed, as though there were structural supports underneath. A red light ran all the way around the edge of the flange. It had a small interior. Only one room, yet it was large enough to stand inside. It held only 260 small beings. Legacy from the Stars, emblem on wall of spaceship. Note, 4 bars on top, then 3 bars, 2 bars and finally 1 bar coming down. She was most emphatic about this arrangement. The star-like emblem on the right meant that the ship was a member of the Space Council. A childhood memory revisited, 61, enlargement of emblem to the right of the larger one composed of bars. It showed a silhouette of jagged mountains, definitely some kind of rock formation, against a red sky. She had the impression from the emblem that the sky was red on their planet. This was why the lighting on the ship was red. It was the light spectrum they were used to. 62, Legacy from the Stars, in the lower right corner is the arrangement of the stars on the star map, There was a large one on the upper left, which seemed to be their home planet. Then the smaller ones, with the bottom one furthest away. They apparently then traced the zigzag pattern for her, which her 8-year-old mind associated with dot-to-dot drawings. They tried to communicate to her that there were small jumps from dot to dot, then a larger jump to the last one, Earth. This last one required more energy or more effort or whatever to make the jump. It was easier to go to the first dots, but harder to the last one. Almost as though they had to shift to a different type of speed or process or something. Maybe going through a dimension? When she awakened and was drawing this, only then did we notice the similarity between the star map and the emblem on the wall. The same zigzag design. A childhood memory revisited, 63, in answer to the skeptics that might think this session was the result of the subject relating a fantasy to please the hypnotist. I do not think that is the case. Penny had no conscious memory of an experience, and thus had no motivation for inventing a story. I have her cases in my UFO abduction research where the subject was convinced they had experienced a real encounter, yet under hypnosis the truth came out. In many cases there was no UFO or alien experience, but something ordinary and perfectly normal. The subconscious has many reasons for hiding an experience, the least of which is alien involvement. It is always wise in therapy to accept the simple explanation before the more complex one. But I have found that if the subject is in a deep enough trance, the conscious mind can be pushed to the side and the subconscious will supply the correct information if the right questions are asked. In my opinion, this was not a fantasy invented to please me. And the next session a few weeks later further convinced me of the validity of the memory as the subconscious supplied more information. At the next session I wanted to ask a few more questions about the aliens that Penny saw when she was 8 years old. I used her keyword and took her back again to that time. D, let's go back to the time when you were around 8 years old, and you had the unusual experience with strange-looking little beings. And you were in that room inside the enclosure type thing. You were asking them questions and seeing all the different things that were there. I will count to three and we will be there. 1, 2, 3, you've gone back to that time when you were 8 years old, and having that experience. What are you doing? What do you see? P, big breaths, then slowly, I'm standing up. My arms are out to my sides. O, what do I see? Pause, childish, them beings. They're still pointing at me. Pointing at me, and I, 64, legacy from the stars can't respond verbally. Restraining me. They don't want to harm me, but they are curious about me. What else do you want to know? Why are they pointing at you? Different parts of my body. To find out how I reproduce, and studying the organ structure. They have a lot of it already figured out with the experiments. And they wanted to take samples. My body is kind of resisting it. I just can't believe it. That I'm really here, because I've never had an experience like this. And it kind of scares me. And these beings kind of frighten me. They tried to communicate with me, but I just don't know what they're going to do next. Because I don't know them at all. It just happened so quickly, and I am in a slight state of shock about it all. I feel kind of afraid, and I don't know what they're going to do next. And I don't like that feeling. Didn't you say they had some kind of machine that could look at the different things inside your body? Yeah. It looks like what you might call a flashlight, unsure of word type thing. The light comes on, but it's shaped flatter. You know, like a flat flashlight. But there's a beam of light that comes forth from that. And they move it up and down my body, kind of like a scanner. It scans me. And with that it makes pictures come up on a screen. And they can see what's inside my body with that particular instrument. It's black on the outside of it, a black tool. And it has a beaming light that comes forth from it, it shines on my body. And they went up and down and around. Mostly up and down with it. Is it like an X-ray? Yes, but they hold it in their hand, and the pictures come up on a screen. It's similar to a computer type screen. Like the front of a word processor, but without the rest of it, just the screen part. There are no keys like a typewriter. There's something like a computer thing that they have with it, so they can punch in data and analyze the specimens with this device. They can break down, analyze the cell structure and DPDPDP, a childhood memory revisited, 65, the chemical structure. And they compare it to their structures and see the differences and the similarities with this computer type screen. But it's like nothing I've ever seen before. There are colors on this screen that are also significant. The body organs and things, the colors mean different things. In the beginning, Penny was reporting this episode through the eyes and vocabulary of a child. As she progressed, it was obvious her subconscious mind was drawing upon concepts in Penny's adult mind to give the descriptions that a child would obviously not understand. This was apparent because there would not have been computers when Penny had the experience at the age of 8. She was using the modern concept of computers and word processors to help in the identification. Yet the idea of colors on the screen was surprising to her and to me, because in 1987 color computers were still a futuristic concept. D.O. That really does sound different. Earlier we were mentally asking them questions, and they were giving you answers. They said they didn't mind doing that. Did they? P. Only with their permission. I can't just tune in without them being very aware of it. D. They said they didn't like that. P. As long as they don't feel violated, then they will permit a mental exchange of communication. D. Because I had a few more questions I wanted to ask them. I want to find out more about their physical structures. Can you ask them if they eat or drink? P. I'll try. Long pause. HMMM. I'm getting mental pictures. Fluid has to be absorbed into their system. Their skin. This surrounding material around the body can absorb things. And there are substances, even in the air, that they can absorb if they choose to. There are fluids that can be done this way. They don't have to use a straw to be filled with the fluid they need to exist. They don't need water as we do. They use something similar to a water substance, but, 66, legacy from the stars, it's translucent looking. And on their planet there are areas that are similar to a pond with water on the Earth. Or a lake or ocean. There are places on their planet where there are fluid substances, but they're of a different texture and cell structure than water. They don't have to drink it, but just be next to it and absorb it. With their system, they get a feel of whatever they need. Mentally they can transfer these substances. And the outer layer of their body is made such that it easily can absorb things into it, without it being seen. Very much. It's sort of a mist type of experience that happens. A steam or mist that is absorbed into the steamy ethereal part of their body. And as far as food goes, there is a plant type substance that they do eat. A darker, leafy, green type of plants, that they partake of with much enjoyment. Let's see. They do have a mouth that can be used sometimes to eat this leafy green stuff. I don't know what that's called. But they can absorb things to get the nutrients they need. They're very interested in our plant life here, and in comparing it to the plant life on their planet. Earlier you weren't sure if they had a mouth or not. Let me take another look at them. It's just barely. They can almost cover it up. There's an etheric part of the body, you see. It's so bright that it kind of covers it. There is an opening under where their nose is. But it's just a real small opening. It's not very big. Circular. In structure. It's just a slip in the skin, almost, that opens up. They can seal it up so you don't even see it most of the time. I thought it was very peculiar seeing beings with no mouths. But then when I heard them talking without lips, I knew they had some kind of mouth. They were making some kind of sounds. Yes, and that's how they were able to do that. I don't know if they have teeth, because they eat plant stuff. I don't think they eat any meat-type substances. There are things that are on their planet that they can turn into food. But their bodies don't really need a lot of bulk. Actually, it makes it easier for them to transport and to do some of the wonderful things. D.P.D.P. A childhood memory revisited, 67, D.P.D.P. They are capable of doing, with less bulk in their system. Food is actually a secondary thing to these beings. We are always comparing to what we know of our own bodies. And I was curious about how they are different. You said there are wonderful things they can do? Could you elaborate on that? Do you mean this going between planets? They can dematerialize. That's pretty major to us, but it's pretty secondhand to them. To them, their bodies are of that type of structure. They are capable of doing this because they're more advanced. And they can travel places more easily than other beings of alien type nature, because being able to dematerialize gives them more mobility. They're able to pass through major obstacles in the universe, in the solar system, with ease, because of their mental advancement. And they are in complete control of their system. Their bodies are a tool for them. They are observers in a sense, too, observers of the universe. And very knowledgeable. They have taken records from many civilizations. And they will compile it into their, like a big book that they have on their planet. They try to learn as much as they can about every type of species available. In fact, they specialize in collecting things for their planets. There are other alien civilizations. Some of them would look up to these beings, because they're pretty high up there. Even as far as ones that can travel in these alien ships. There's even different degrees of knowledge. Some are more advanced than others. And these are one of the more advanced groups. They have like a center of information for the universe. They welcome many other alien civilizations. They have their own protective systems, so that no undesirables will be able to penetrate their force field. You said there was a larger ship up in the clouds that they came from. Can you ask of them, are all the beings on that larger ship the same type of beings as they are? Well, I got a message that there are some androids there. Androids like robot beings. They perform certain duties that, 68, legacy from the stars these beings would rather not waste their time doing. They program the android and it will just do tasks. In fact, they are considering making a human like a android, because they think the human species is an attractive looking species. They're considering that at this time, but they need more data first. Pause. The androids that I see there are more of a triangular shaped box kind of thing. Moving around the aisles, really more metallic looking with lights on them. And they can do many things. They really don't like using too many of those. They rely on their own skills which they think are superior to the android. I was thinking of an android as being at least part machine. Would that be accurate, or are they made differently? I don't know how they make them. It's a robot type machine. It doesn't have a face or features or anything? Well, the ones they have just move around the floor. They do have probers. But that's a different function. Actually, a beam of light is projected forth from the ship. And it's a scanner, it's almost like eyes from inside the ship. They can see through it, and they make it move wherever they want to look. But there is a density to that light that makes it able to pick up textures or things they wouldn't get with just the vision of it. Does that make sense? I think so. That would be what you saw in the beginning, that was scanning out the area. But on the larger ship the intelligent beings all resemble these ones you have contact with. Most of them. Well, the robot type things are different. But those aren't really beings, they're more mechanical. Let's see. Pause, my consciousness is mixing up pictures here. Mumbling, I must get the accurate ones. Pause, they are all pretty similar, but there is a main one in control. He wears a robe with a high collar and a big jewel around his neck. And he sometimes projects himself to the area near the pyramids in Egypt. Does this being look physically like these others? D, P, D, P, D, P, D, a childhood memory revisited, 69, P, yes. And he can dematerialize and materialize and never be seen. I saw a mental picture of him, and I sensed him being in a pyramid, actually, in Egypt, because that energy is very conducive to their bodies. The pyramids are like a signaling station for extraterrestrials. Messages can be sent from these to higher places. D, I have wondered what the pyramids were for. P, they have been used for many different things. But the energy there is such that it's conducive to transmitting energy as well as being very receptive for it. It can energize anything within it. It stabilizes things. Messages can be sent toward the craft, because if you are inside a pyramid, Your telepathic abilities are naturally increased. So if you have a very intelligent alien being in a pyramid, it is logical that they could transmit a higher frequency to reach any aircraft that would be in the area, if they wanted to. Different frequencies affect different crafts. It's like a signal. Like the Air Force might send a signal and only their craft would recognize it. And they would give the right message out. Plus they have other instruments that can send a frequency of a sound that is so high that our regular physical type hearing wouldn't hear it. It is a similar phenomena to the way a dog can be affected by sounds so high that humans can't hear them. They have a little tuning instrument that they can adjust, and project a certain frequency. Now if it is done in a pyramid, it is exaggerated. Plus it's a safe place for them to be without being seen and upsetting people by their form. That's another reason why they were in some of the more secluded areas. They can tell whether there are any people around before they manifest. Some people that are attracting the type of experience are ready to see them manifest. But they can tune a certain frequency, and it can be projected out. And then the craft of that frequency range will be attracted to it, and might send a message back. D. Did they find out by accident that the pyramids would do this? 70. Legacy from the stars. P. For somebody visiting from above, when they look down, the pyramids are something an aviator would notice. They stand out. And someone in the sky, in the heavens, would notice it more so than another type structure. Plus pyramids, even in the far stretches of the universe, have a great symbolic meaning. D. Then they knew it would do this. P. They were curious at first. They wanted to go inside one. And once they were there, they tried it and it worked. The dimensions were created perfectly in the pyramids. The conditions were accurate to create the pyramid energy. So they probably knew it would work ahead of time. D. Now let's leave that scene. And drift away from that scene when you were 8 years old, and you were having that strange experience. And it won't bother you to remember that at all. We'll drift away from that experience and move forward in time. I want to ask your subconscious if Penny ever had any other experiences like that, while living in this life? Is that the only time she experienced anything like that? P. Pause. No. There have been other times. These same beings tried to contact me again. When they try to monitor me. D. How can they monitor you? P. Something was placed in me. D. When was it placed in you? P. The time the information was placed in my head. That's part of it. This is to create a certain frequency in my system, and this frequency attracts them. It's almost like a radio antenna. D. Do you mean when you were 8? P. Yes. Alien beings are attracted to this similar frequency, and they want to use me to observe things going on this planet and to provide information for them. D. Was it some kind of device? P. They didn't want me to know for a while. I didn't understand it when I was younger. Now it's starting to be a childhood memory revisited, 71, more revealed to me. Let's see, it's something planted in my head. Pause, and it was almost mentally projected there, but there is a form to it. It's mentally projected but it has a texture to it. They can manifest things with their mind. But it's almost triangular in shape, a piece of metal. But to them it's like an antenna. D. Do you know where they placed this? P. Pause. The top part of my head. I sometimes feel the effects of it. About once a year one get a weird feeling in my head. It's like a throbbing. It's helped me with some things, you know. It really doesn't interfere with my normal biological functioning. It's more like they can tune into me very easily, and I can send them my mental messages. When they want to tap in there they can. D. Do you think an X-ray would reveal anything like that? P. Maybe it could. I don't know. It's not a regular type metal. So could you check something that's not a type of metal as we know it? It looks metallic in nature, but it's just for data. It hasn't really affected me. I'm not a robot for them. I just keep up with things going on in the world. They want to know what we're doing down here so they can help us more easily. What they put there is not obstructive to my growth in any way. If anything, it's an asset. Because they're very advanced, They know what they're doing. D. About how big is this? P. I think it's... I'm getting different pictures now. First I see a tube in my head and then A. Maybe a tube was put there to place it. I don't know. It's weird. And then I see a triangle. Very small indeed, microscopic almost. I want to say microscopic, but I'd have to put it next to something to really know how big it is. And my skin layer is kind of woven around it. D. Do you think there might be more than the one on the top of your head? P. No. I only feel there was one placed, because that's the age I was at. If I was more completely grown. C. They knew that my skull was going to grow in size. And they, 72, legacy from the stars, didn't want to put anything too large there, so it could grow without having any obstructions. That's why they put it on the top of your head? Yes, it's a signal. But it can only be activated by certain frequencies. They will try to communicate with me sometimes in my dream states. But they don't really try to interfere with my everyday progression. It's like I'm an observer for this particular species. They study us. There are quite a few people on this planet who are utilized in this way. To someone else it might seem rather violating, but it really has not caused me any problem. If anything, it has enhanced mental abilities for me. Do you have any way of knowing when they are having contact with you? I'm starting to become more aware of that frequency. When my vibration is raised to a higher level, I'm more sensitive and aware of them tuning in to me. I feel like my heart's speeding up or something. I feel like a rush of vibrating energy descending on me. Higher beings are vibrating at faster levels. It's intense, but it's a comforting good feeling, too. It just automatically happens. It's not anything that distresses me. I'm getting more sensitive to it as I naturally progress, especially more now in this time of life than ever. Do you ever hear any sounds or anything? I've sometimes heard a humming noise. But I don't know if that's what it's from. Does it come from any certain part of your head? I don't know. It's just a vibration noise. She made a low-pitched sustained hum, that kind of a noise. D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P. One of the reasons I wanted more specific information about the tone was that I have encountered similar reports in my work with UFO abduction cases. Some subjects have reported hearing a tone or hum just before an experience occurs. Often it was reported as high-pitched, similar to the sound of a skill saw. In Penny's case she said it was low-pitched. It could be that a variety of tones are used. A childhood memory revisited, 73, p, but that doesn't always happen simultaneously. I can sense when there's a high energy being around. I can feel its vibration, because it interacts with mine. It almost makes me feel a little shaky, because I'm adjusting to the higher vibrations. But it doesn't make me upset or anything. I am kind of programmed, you know. D, what do you mean, you're programmed? P, to be an observer for them. But they had an agreement with my will before this took place. D, what do you mean? P, well, I guess I was attracting that kind of experience. And before I took embodiment I chose to have some of these type of experiences. I wanted to reach out to help others. I subconsciously wanted to be a mediator between lower man's nature and higher man's nature. Or between the lower beings and the higher beings, a mediator. So in this way I'm like a bridge, while being in this body, and helping to bring forth ideas of great creativeness and great intelligence to help advance man in many ways. D, I can understand that. Some people can't, but I can understand that way of thinking and looking at it, but it won't bother you to know these things about yourself. They haven't bothered you all this time, have they? P, no. There was one time when I could tell someone was making some adjustments in my head. I definitely was feeling like a robot, but I knew I wasn't. But I had something altered, and I don't know exactly what. Maybe an adjustment to that thing or something. I couldn't see things, but I could feel it. Physically, consciously feel changes going on in my head, like things being adjusted or something. D, when did that happen? P, it was about 8 years ago. 8 or 7. I was going through a crisis at that time, and I asked for assistance, for help, and it happened. D. You were having problems in your personal life?